Now tonight, with your Bible open to the book of Psalms and chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 in this 30th Psalm. But first, I want you to join with me in just a moment of prayer. Our Father, as we pause again before Thee, it is indeed with grateful hearts that we are reminded that Thou hast spared us and brought us to this hour when we can listen to Thy word, when we can fellowship together, and when we who have something in common, the common bond of love that binds us together in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Thy children, blood bought and redeemed, and on our way to heaven, how we do thank Thee that Thou hast given us a church in which we can worship and serve. How we do thank Thee that Thou hast given us even this worship hour tonight, that we can cast aside the thoughts of the day and the troubles and cares of life and come into Thy house and together worship Thee. We pray, Heavenly Father, should there be those without the Savior here tonight, oh, may they taste and see that the Lord is good. May they come to know Him as their very own personal Savior. Should there be those who are yet seeking a church home and seeking Thy will in this matter, teach them Thy way and show them Thy path, even now as we pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake with thanksgiving. Amen. Psalm chapter 30, verse 1. I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but for a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by Thy favor Thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide Thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to Thee, O Lord, unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise Thee? Shall it declare Thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be Thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Now, if you'll look back for a moment at verse 5, and this is my text for our message tonight. For His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. One thing that gives us hope in the midst of all of the crises of life, all of the disturbing circumstances that we encounter along the pathway of life, all of the situations into which we are thrown, there's one thing in the midst of all of them that brings us hope and joy, and that is that things will soon change. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There is no road so straight but somewhere it has a turn. I think the truth that whatever we're experiencing in the days of our reverses, in the days of our tragedies and losses, I think that truth is embodied in verse 5, where the psalmist, in the midst of one of his downcast moments, reminds us that though weeping is in the night, joy comes in the morning. I think that same truth is captured in a little poem that's entitled, "This Too Shall Pass Away." When some sorrow like a mighty river flows through your life with peace-destroying power, and dearest things are swept from sight forever, say to your heart each trying hour, "This too shall pass away." When ceaseless toil has hushed your song of gladness, and you have grown almost too tired to pray, let this truth banish from your heart its sadness and ease the burdens of each trying day. This too shall pass away. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I want us to consider several areas and several circumstances where indeed there was weeping, but then it was always followed by joy. This is the common experience of your own life. This was true in the life of the nation of Israel. For Israel spent a long night of weeping in Egypt, but God brought joy in the morning of the Exodus. Think about that now. Israel spent a long night of weeping in Egypt, but God brought joy on the morning of the Exodus. I'm glad that for every night there is a day. For every bondage there is freedom. For every Egypt there is a land of Canaan. If we consider Israel's plight for just a moment, we must begin by saying that Israel was in a foreign land. Not many of us know tonight what that really means, to be in a foreign land, to be away from your own nativity and your own setting, but Israel was when they were in Egypt. And not only were they in a foreign land, but they were under a foreign government that was alien to them, because God before had been their governor. They were in a foreign land under a foreign government. They were exposed to a foreign language. This made it difficult for them. And to top it all off, Israel, the nation, were slaves in the land of Egypt. And their long night of weeping lasted over 400 years. Think of it, 400 years, a night of weeping for the Israelites. But then God raised up Moses. And I'm glad that for every adversary, there is an advocate. We have an adversary tonight who is abroad in the land, Satan. As a roaring lion, he goeth about seeking whom he may devour. But I'm glad we also have an advocate. John writes, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus the righteous." For every adversary, there is the advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel had an adversary in the person of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, but Israel had an advocate in the person of Moses, who was representing them to God and representing God to them. And so as Israel was in that plight, and after 400 years, God heard their cry of affliction that went up to him, he raised up his man Moses, the advocate. And he said to Moses from the burning bush, "I want you to go down to Egypt And I want you to go before Pharaoh, and I want you to say to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. You know, God never called a man without giving him a message. Moses didn't get that message all of a sudden now, boys. He spent 40 years learning, first in Egypt. Then he had to unlearn most of that in the 40 years on the backside of the desert. So he went to school for 80 years. Before he ever preached his first sermon. God said to Moses, this is the word that I'm going to give you. You go before Pharaoh and you say to him, let my people go. And so Moses went before, he had to argue with the Lord for a long time first. You know, he said, Lord, I stammer and stutter and so forth and so on. He must have been a Baptist, always full of excuses. But God straightened him out. And God provided the very thing that he needed. God said, I'll give you a spokesman. Who made your mouth, Moses? I'll give you a spokesman. And so Moses made his way before Pharaoh and said to the king of Egypt, remember now, this is a pagan king. And that king had in his power to destroy Moses, humanly speaking, at the flash of an eye. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? I don't know him. Neither shall I let Israel go. But you know, before it was all over, this man Pharaoh found out who the Lord was. The Lord gave him some vital lessons, and it cost him very dearly. In 10 installments of the plagues, Pharaoh found out who God was. You know, it's a tragic thought that some people never find out who God is until the hour of judgment comes. Really, I rather doubt tonight that America will ever have another great revival and a turning to God until the judgment hand of God is upon our nation. Amen. It is tragic, I say, for people to learn about God through judgment when he has offered himself in love and mercy and grace, pardon and forgiveness of sin. But Pharaoh found out who he was. And the 10th plague, you remember, was the death of the firstborn. After all 9 plagues had come, and yet Pharaoh refused to let God's people, Israel, go, God said, all right, there's going to be the death of every firstborn in Egypt. But in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, he instructed Moses that they would gather the little Passover lamb, that they would shed the little lamb's blood, and they would sprinkle the blood upon the doorpost. And Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 tell us that God said to Moses, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, my friend, tonight when the judgment hand of God is unleashed upon this world, when all of the wrath of a righteous God is turned loose on a godless, Christless world, it's only those who are under the blood that are going to be spared. Amen. Are you under that blood tonight? Have your sins been washed away? Have you been to the fountain that cleanses whiter than snow? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's only those under the blood that will be spared the judgment hand of God. It's only those in the day of Israel's bondage and slavery in Egypt that were spared the death of the firstborn, only those covered by the blood. And so, after 400 years of weeping, 400 years of slavery, 400 years of bondage, there came the morning of the Exodus. And Israel was driven out of Egypt with a mighty and strong arm. And they crossed the Red Sea. And when they got out on the other side in Exodus chapter 15, they sang the song of redemption. Weeping endured for 400 years, but joy came in the morning of the Exodus. You know, it might seem like an endless time that you have to weep, but my text says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I see in Israel's plight here a picture of every sinner in bondage. In bondage to Satan and in bondage to the Egypt of the world today. But the moment they come by faith and ask forgiveness of sins and trust Jesus Christ, the exodus comes, the redemption comes, and God fills their hearts with a song of joy. And so tonight, I would say to you, if you're in that period of weeping and mourning in your own life, hasten to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and let the joy of salvation ring in your heart after all those 400 years of bondage and weeping. There came the morning of joy, the morning of Exodus. And you know, once the entire world spent a long night of weeping in the intertestament period, but God brought them joy on the morning of New Testament revelation. I say the whole world was in a long night of weeping during the period between the Old and New Testament, but God brought joy in the revelation of the New Testament. That period is called the intertestament period. It lasted about 400 years. From the closing of the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, to the opening of the New Testament, 400 years. They're called silent centuries, dark centuries, by virtue of the fact that during that 400-year period, there was not one prophet on the scene. There was no revelation. They were truly years of weeping. They were years of darkness. But I'm glad that God broke that silence. And as we open the New Testament, the gospel according to Luke, the writer Luke tells us that there was a just man and a righteous man named Zacharias. And he was taking care of his duty within the temple. He was of the priestly caste. And during the process of taking care of his duties within the temple, and all the people were without praying, the angel of the Lord came to Zacharias. And the angel of the Lord said, "Fear not. I've heard your prayer. I know that your wife Elizabeth is barren. I know that you are both well stricken in age. But I have heard your prayer, and I will give to you and your wife Elizabeth a son." And Zacharias said, "What? How can I know that this is going to be true?" He exercised just a little bit of doubt. And you know, God said during the time that Elizabeth would be carrying the son, that Zacharias would be dumb so he could not speak. There are severe consequences in our doubting the word of the Lord. And so during this time of Elizabeth carrying the son, all of these months went by, and when the child was born, they called all the people together and they said, "What shall we name him?" Somebody said, "Well, I think we ought to call him Zacharias Jr. after his father." That's what the book says. Just didn't put Jr. there. But after his father, that means the same thing. And his mother said, "Well, now let's just wait a moment. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's ask his father. Well, he can't speak. Write him a message. If you can't get there one way, get there some other way. If one door is closed, open another." And so he wrote down, "His name is John." Because John means God is gracious. And after 400 years of darkness and 400 years of silence, when there was no revelation, no angel, no prophet, God was gracious to his people Israel and gracious to the whole world. And this boy, John the Baptist, was born. And God named him John the Baptist because he was a baptizer. He put people under the water because the word means to submerge or immerse. And so, This young boy, John, for 30 years was in the wilderness. He had a very strange diet, very strange clothes. And the writer John, the beloved apostle, says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he came to bear witness of the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he came out, well, he wouldn't have gone over today. Oh, no. Because he came out of the wilderness. A fiery voice of one in the wilderness crying, "Repent." That's the first thing John said. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And they came from all over Judea to hear John. They didn't hear what they wanted to hear, some of them. Because he called some of them snakes and vipers and hypocrites. He told the soldiers to be satisfied with their wage and the working men to go on about their wage and work. He told the people just to take it easy and wait a little while. Messiah's on his way. He'll bring things into order. He'll make things right. And so Jesus was born just 6 months after John was born. And there Jesus comes on the scene, and when he is born, God breaks again the silence. And the angels gave the message to the shepherds, "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." After all of those 400 years of the intertestament period, a long night of weeping, God brought the joy of the New Testament revelation. John the Baptist came on the scene, as we said, as the harbinger, the herald, the forerunner of Christ. And then Jesus Christ came on the scene. And this brought joy to a world that was weeping and mourning in sorrow and hopelessness. I'm glad for New Testament revelation tonight. Say, you know, there was another group, much smaller. The disciples spent a night of weeping on Lake Galilee. But God brought joy in the morning when Jesus stood on the shore. Things were getting rather despondent around the camp. Peter said, "Well, I just think I'll go back to fishing. It looks like we're not going to have much of a Sunday school in there. I just think I'll go fishing." And you know what? All the rest of that gang said, "Well, Peter, if you're going, we're going too." You know what that reminds me of? That suggests to me that every time you make a move away from the church, away from God, away from Christ, away from the business of the church and Sunday school, somebody's going to follow you. No man liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. The power of influence. Peter said, "I'm going fishing." They said, "We're going fishing too." So they all went fishing, just declared a holiday and went fishing. But you know what happened that night? They didn't catch one single fish. I wonder what people do with the fish that they do catch, if indeed they do, on the Lord's day when they ought to be in church. I'd be afraid to eat them. People used to bring me bird pie, and the birds were picked on Sunday, and I used to look at it a second time before I'd eat it. Of course, they went in the afternoon, so I went on and ate it, but to take the Lord's day and disregard the church and the Sunday school and the program of Christ, I don't know. They caught nothing. They were a big fat failure that night. But in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. You know, at the end of every failure that we make, Jesus stands on the shore of our lives. And we all make failures. In fact, failure is almost a common denominator of life. But Jesus is on the shore. And you know what happened? Jesus said, "Boys, put the net over on the right side." And when they did, they brought forth a great catch. And Jesus made everything different. After a long night of failure, a long night of discouragement, a long night of catching nothing, Jesus made the difference in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And now, friends, you and I have our nights of weeping, do we not? What shall I say about that night of doubt that causes us to weep? But then we take the word of God and we get the blessed assurance that all is well. Weeping endures through the night of doubt, but joy comes in the morning. Or what shall I say about that night of discouragement? When we think in our own hearts and minds that everything has gone awry, it causes us to weep. But then we look in the word of God and we find the assurance from God's word that there's a better day tomorrow. Weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And that long night of death, when we indeed have lost our loved ones, when we consider ourselves the prospect of dying, we know that the night of death brings weeping, but we get the word of God and we learn and get the assurance that though there's a night of death, there's a morning of resurrection. And Jesus is standing, as it were, ready on the shoreline of your life. Amidst all of the clouds of darkness, despondency, discouragement, and death, there's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given us the promise. The promise that all things that happen in our lives work together for our own good. Are you tonight, my Christian friend, enduring a long night of weeping? If so, why don't you find the joy of surrendering everything to Christ, the joy of the morning? If you're without the Lord Jesus Christ in the night of sin, why don't you just surrender to him your life and your soul and let the joy of Jesus Christ flood your heart? The old sheepherder lay dying in a hospital in London, England, and he was blind. And about the only break in his monotonous life was when his little granddaughter would come and she'd read to him from the Word of God. And one afternoon she opened the Bible to 1 John chapter 1. And she began reading in verse 1. And she got down to verse 7 where it says, "And the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." And the old man said, "Darling, stop. Don't read any further. Stop. Read it again." And so she went back and she got back to that 7th verse. "But the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And he said, "Honey, does it really say that?" "Yes, Granddaddy," she said, "it really says that." He said, "Well, darling, read it again." And so she read it again. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And Granddaddy said, "Darling, would you mind just placing my fingers over on those words?" And she took his bony fingers and laid them up on the very words of verse 7. He said, "Now, darling, read it again. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin." Then she looked at him and she saw the words trembling on his lips. "I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin." She said, "Now, darling, when I die, you tell them that I died believing that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin." Weeping may endure for a night of sin, but joy cometh in the morning. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, tonight we thank thee that though there be the long, long, extended, protracted night of weeping, weeping because of sin, weeping because of sorrow, weeping because of reverses in our lives and crises that we don't know how to handle and we don't have the ready answer for. After that long night of weeping, we thank thee that there is the morning that brings joy. We ask thee again, Heavenly Father, if there be those here tonight who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, still in the night of sin, still in the night of weeping, may they come to the joys of salvation by trusting Christ and know the joy of the morning, even in these moments. For those, Heavenly Father, who have not, as Christians, yielded their lives, surrendered their all to thee, may they come tonight and step out of a life of half-hearted service, a life of misery, a life of weeping and doubt and discouragement and despondency, may they step out into the joys of full surrender to Thee. And dear God, for those who are here tonight in our services who are seeking a church home, may they not tarry any longer, but may they come tonight to identify themselves with Worth Baptist Church. May it be so, as we ask it all in Jesus' name and for His sake, with thanksgiving.